All right. Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Ricky Bradley. I'm the IT director for Citizens Climate Lobby, and it's my honor to welcome the volunteers from throughout the country who've signed in tonight. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you some exciting news about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2019. So let's get started. We're joined by Mark Reynolds, Citizens Climate Lobby's executive director, Madeline Pera, CCL's vice president of programs, and Dr. Danny Richter, CCL's vice president of government affairs.
Great. Today, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was introduced in the House of Representatives. This is the first time in basically a decade that a bipartisan carbon pricing bill is in play in the House of Representatives. We did get one in the lame duck, but the one we had in the lame duck was there as a marker to tell Congress on a go-forward basis there was a way people could work across the aisle. This is a real bill and a real Congress, and we're looking forward to supporting it very intensely. We love this bill because it's effective. It'll produce way more dramatic reductions in carbon emissions than anything that would have happened under the Clean Power Plan or our Paris commitments. It's good for people. This puts money in the pocket, a lot of people who could really use a little bit more money in their pocket. And because the air and the water will be cleaner, that's good for everybody's health. It's good for the economy. This is a bill that will actually create jobs. You know, there's a false narrative that's been allowed to wander around for a long time saying it's either the environment or the economy. This bill is good for both. It's revenue neutral, so there won't be any cost to the government. And most importantly, it's bipartisan. We could use a lot more bipartisanship right now, and we're going to do a lot of work to make sure that that gains some traction in this Congress. So here's what's going to happen on the call. In just a moment, Dr. Danny Richter is going to be going over the details of the call, and then I'll be answering some questions. After Danny's done, Madeline Pera will be going over our action steps and then asking questions, and we'll wrap up after that. So let me turn it over to Dr. Danny Richter.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. Now, in a bipartisan Congress with Democrats in control of the House and Republicans in control of the Senate, you really need a bipartisan solution. And here it is. Now, this is actually the third month in a row that we have had a bipartisan bill introduced. So we do seem to be making a bit of a habit out of this, but I'm going to call this a good habit. And thank you, everybody on the call, for helping us form this good habit. Good habits are hard to break. And so what is in this bill? So this is actually the most lead time that we've been able to give before a bill has been introduced. And so for people who might have missed the last two calls in the last 2 months, November and December, I'll go over some of the basics of the bill. So first of all, there is a fee beginning at $15 per ton of CO2 equivalent and increasing by at least $10 per ton per year. There's a dividend. 100% of the net is going to be returned as a dividend, one full share per adult and a half share per child. There will also be a fair and equivalent border adjustment, the purpose of which is to provide no incentive for offshoring of carbon emissions, that is, relocating your production to a regime which is more permissive, enabling you to pollute. There is also a regulatory pause in this bill. Now, I'd like to remind everybody, or at least bring everybody up to speed. At present, there are no current active regulations on greenhouse gases in this country for their greenhouse gas effects. There's the CAFE standards, the tailpipe emission standards, but that's not for the CO2. That is for the efficiency of the cars, it's for the particulates. And so at present, again, there are no current active regulations on greenhouse gases for their greenhouse gas effects. Now, the earliest something comprehensive could be put into effect regulatory-wise would be 2026. That is 7 years into the future. What this bill would do is it would end that pause in 2030 if we are not in line with the emissions reductions schedule specified in this bill. And this also includes a directive from Congress. So this would be the first time Congress is very specifically and explicitly instructing the EPA to regulate greenhouse gas emissions for their greenhouse gas effects. And this bill would instruct, Congress would be instructing the EPA to close the gap using regulations. So whatever the carbon fee could not do, they would instruct to close that gap with regulations. So this is an extremely strong bill. Is this bill different from H.R. 7173? H.R. 7173 was the House bill that was introduced in November of last year, just 2 months ago. Yes, it is, but it's not that much different. Even the title is the same. So there were several small things. The dates were moved forward. So for example, instead of saying this bill will be take effect in 2018, it changes the date to 2020. There were 8 mentions of tons in the last version of the bill, but only 5 of them had the word metric in front of them. Now all 8 have the word metric in front of them. The emissions reduction schedule was compressed so that we still get to our 2050 target by 2050. And again, that is a 90% reduction below 2016 emissions. And the last bill is 2015 emissions. This was progressed to 2016 because a more recent U.S. inventory of greenhouse gas emissions and sinks had come out. So we updated that. There is also in this bill a military exemption. This is something that we feel good about because the military accounts for about 1% of all fossil fuel consumption in the United States. But there's every reason to believe that the military would not be that responsive to a Pigouvian price signal like this. Additionally, this is something that people could really get beat up on. So you can imagine, in particular, conservatives being attacked for raising the cost of keeping our sons and daughters risking their lives to keep us safe abroad. And we just don't want to do that, endangering our national security. We are removing the ability to make that talking point by providing this exemption for the military use of fossil fuels. And again, we don't think that the military would be very responsive to this Pigouvian price signal. In any case, we think that Congress would provide the money to allow them to burn the fossil fuels that they need. The other change to this bill is it has been indexed to inflation in both the starting price and the rate of increase. And what this means is this puts us on track to catch the low end of prices as specified in the latest IPCC special report. Special report on a 1.5 degree centigrade world. Without the inflation adjustment, we were solidly in the price range to keep below 2 degrees. And with this indexation to inflation, we cut just the lowest price range for getting to a 1.5 degree centigrade world. So we feel great about that. And again, when we're messaging this to our friends, our neighbors, to the public, there are a few things that we want to keep on saying. And Mark already mentioned these, but we want to bring up that this is effective. This is good for people. This is good for the economy, and this is bipartisan. We have a bipartisan Congress. We need a bipartisan solution. So now, what is the plan? What are we going to do now that this has been reintroduced? First of all, I want to review and remind you that the last time we did one of these calls, I said that January was always the target for the Deutsch office. And I had thought that February was probably going to be more realistic. I was anticipating some delays. Well, we're ahead of schedule. The Deutsch office was right, and so kudos to them. We're just more organized than we thought we were, and so that's a plus. And now that it is introduced, what is our plan? We want to get more Republicans on this bill as co-sponsors. We also want to get more Democrats on this bill as co-sponsors. And in particular, we are targeting Democrats on committees of jurisdiction. So that is Ways and Means, Energy and Commerce, and Foreign Affairs. Those Democrats will be given preference by the Deutsch office. If you have a Democrat who is interested, ask them to see Congressman Deutsch, talk to the Deutsch office. We will also be looking for Democrats in leadership and Democrats who are otherwise influential. Maybe they are a leader of a constituency that is important for passage. So that's the plan. get more co-sponsors. And because this has been introduced so early, we have a great opportunity to pack this with a lot of co-sponsors. Now, you may remember there was also a Senate bill that was introduced, and we do want to see a bipartisan bill reintroduced in the Senate. The timing of that is uncertain at this point. The Republican co-sponsor on that bill was Jeff Flake. He retired from Congress. We left a lot of conversations in a good place. I do have to say the shutdown has delayed us picking up those conversations again, but I think we still remain in a good place. And our reach goal for having a bipartisan Senate bill reintroduced would be to have that done before our June conference. I think that is possible, but again, I do think it is a reach goal, so we're just going to do everything we can to do that. But we still feel very good about this. We have a template, and one of the things that we hear again and again from members of Congress is if they're going to do something in the House, they want to make sure that it's also done in the Senate. By getting that bill introduced last Congress, we said the Senate is also interested in doing this. So we think that that's great. And I'll mention that the Democratic champion, Chris Coons, he's been called the most bipartisan Democrat. And he was the lead sponsor on that Senate bill. And the fact is that Jeff Flake, the Republican, came to him. And so I think that he is a Democrat who more Republicans will be coming to. I think he's a great Democrat to be advocating for this bill on the Senate side. Now, I want to talk about media a little bit. And Madeline's going to talk more about this. But this, we're treating this right now, the leaders of this bill, Congressman Deutsch and Congressman Rooney, they wanted to do a soft release. And part of that was because of the shutdown. So what does it mean to do a soft release? It means they haven't called a press call. There wasn't an in-person event today in DC. But this does not mean that you should slow down at all. You should be putting the pedal to the metal. You should be trying to get as much media for this as possible. Where you see media about it, you should be writing about it. And the intention of Congressman Deutsch and Rooney is to do a hard release, to do a press call or a press event in the near future when the shutdown is over. So while you're putting the pedal to the metal, trying to get as many letters to the editor published as possible, you can know that you've got a gust of wind coming in the near future, a hard release with that event. So there are going to be even more things that you can cue off of. So do everything you can to appreciate the co-sponsors on social media. If you happen to be a lucky constituent of one of the co-sponsors of this, to write to them, thanking them for this, and know that we're going to have that other opportunity, that other hook in the near future. Another thing I do want to highlight, we were on the Hill a little bit today, and a Democratic chairman pointed out to us that non-constituents were contacting them, and that's not helpful. Really, it should only be constituents who are contacting their members of Congress. If you do want to say thank you to a member of Congress for whom you are not a constituent, you're absolutely welcome to do that on Twitter and Facebook, but really it should only be constituents who are calling the office, who are writing letters to the office, who are sending emails to the office. So I ask you to please respect that protocol and respect the relationship with the volunteers who are constituents. Now, I want to end here before I open it up for questions with a little bit of perspective. Right now, this is the only bipartisan bill of anything remotely close to this climate ambition that we can see coming. Last Congress, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was the first bipartisan carbon pricing bill submitted in almost a decade in either chamber. And having a bipartisan bill introduced into both chambers within 3 weeks of each other on this topic was historic. That had never happened before on the topic of climate. With this ambition. Getting this bill reintroduced, especially this early, again, this makes this an active concern. It is something that members of Congress and other organizations will have to respond to, and we want you to use that. The advantage of having this introduced so early is that it gives you an enormous tool with which to force others to bend their minds to this issue, this policy, and speak up. We do still have a bipartisan Congress, and we certainly have a bipartisan country. To get meaningful climate legislation passed that will not become a political football, it needs to be bipartisan. It needs to take care of the poor and middle class, and it needs to take a serious chunk out of emissions. This bill checks all those boxes.
All right. Thank you. So welcome, everybody. I see 742 of you on the call now, which is quite amazing. And I really didn't think we'd be having this call so soon. But boy, it feels great to have that bill introduced so quickly in the new Congress. And since Monday was Martin Luther King's birthday, I want to start with a quote from him, a very short one. He said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Well, we've taken a number of steps together already, and perhaps we can think of our time here tonight as standing together on a landing in the staircase. All right. But before we look ahead up the staircase, let's look back for a moment. Here's what you already did in response to the bill being introduced for the first time in the House and Senate late last year. You more than met my challenge of publishing more letters to the editor than ever before, and you also obtained 13 newspaper editorials supporting the bill. We asked you to contact your members of Congress, and at least 9,347 emails, calls, and tweets were made using our online tools, and who knows how many more weren't reported to us. The other wonderful thing that happened is that many new people are getting involved in our work. I asked for the total of how many people have listened to our information session since the bill was first introduced 2 months ago, and it was 1,231, including 98 on the call last night. That's 2.5 times the number of listeners we had in the same period last year. And a lot of our group leaders have been reporting record turnouts at their December and January meetings. And that's really important because now we settle in for the long haul. If you've ever listened to our recorded webinar that we call Congress 101, you'll realize that it's a lot easier for a bill to die in Congress than to get it passed. The level of activity that we generated in November, December, and January, that needs to continue and possibly for months. So in addition to my telling you what you can do right now, I'm also going to give you a few thoughts about helping us grow and about sustaining action. So here's what to do right away. First of all, write your own members of Congress. And like Danny said, write your own. They don't really like to hear from people who aren't their constituents. You can tweet when you're not a constituent. But when you're writing or calling, you do that to your member of Congress. And it's fine to do it again, even if you did it last month. A new bill means a new reason to talk to them, and you can write or call them as often as you wish. If you're a constituent of one of the sponsors and you go to our tool, you'll automatically get a thank you message. If you're calling your representative who's not a sponsor, you'll get the script asking them to support it and asking our senators to support a companion bill in the Senate. Okay, the second thing to do, the first is write your member of Congress. The second is spread the word through social media. We need lots of people, large numbers, to know about and support this legislation. If you're a regular user of social media, you probably know what to do. You know, and you can use our social media toolkit for ideas and images. But if you're like me, and you have a underused Facebook page that you made perhaps to keep track of your grown child or your high school reunion, then I have a special request for you. Go to CCL's Facebook page, click, read our post about the bill, click like, and then click share to share that with your friends and followers. It won't take you long. And I'm betting that all of us who are small users of social media can collectively boost our reach this way. We even made a 5-minute, very simple video tutorial for how to do that, just for you. All right, so that's the second one, social media. Third, please do write those wonderful letters to the editor again. Keep that surge in published letters going so that the bill sponsors know we have our backs. And remember, every member of Congress has somebody assigned to track mentions of their name in the press. So wherever you can, put in the name of Representative Deutsch and Representative Mooney and your own representative, because that will bring it to the attention of those offices. So everything you need to do those actions is on our bill page, on our volunteers website that we call CCL Community, and you'll have a link to those actions in the email you'll get after the call tonight, which will also include a recording of this call. Staff has once again updated most of those resources for the bill to reflect the reintroduction today, except in a few cases where we're waiting a couple of days, so we'll have the bill number on it. And we do still have the Q&A forum on Community for all the questions, because I know we're not going to get to all of them tonight. So what we don't get to there, you can put in there. All right, let's look a little further out. Here are some things for our groups to focus on in the coming months. First, just like we did with adding members to the House Climate Solutions Caucus, as Danny said, we need to add sponsors to the bill and to get senators to introduce their own bill. So we have our in-district lobby drive going on now, and that's a really great place to work with and start to educate your member of Congress. But remember, that's best done working as a team with your chapter and other chapters in the district, so don't go and do that solo. So second, we need to build a lot of grassroots support in the community, and that's why we have a challenge to our groups. I have a new challenge, and that's to hold 2,000 outreach events between now and the end of April. I bet you can do that, just like you blew away the letter to the editor challenge. Third, we need to show support from what we call the grass tops. And those, and by that we mean well-known leaders in your community and state. And we would like them to speak favorably about the bill and or endorse the bill on the bill website. So we'll continue to support you as you undertake those things. So now about that sustained effort we need to make. Because this is a giant undertaking, and it's going to take a lot of teamwork and persistence. We know how to do that, because that's what got us this far. So here's some things to think about. First of all, be a team player. Determine your focus for yourself, and then work as part of a team to succeed at it. Because teams are the best way to help new people learn and get started. You know, they're the best way to share the work, so that nobody has to do everything, and more can get done. All right, next. Encourage you to budget your time. What can you do every week? What limits can you set for yourself? And where can you blend your CCL work into other parts of your life, for example, your church or other organizations you're part of? Yes, we want you to be all in on getting the bill passed, but we also want you to be well-rested and fun to be around. So don't forget to take care of yourself while you jump to the next level of engagement in the work. And then the third thing for the long term is to help us grow. We can use a lot more people. So share your excitement about the work that you do as a CCL volunteer and invite anybody who responds favorably to listen to the Wednesday informational session or to come with you to a chapter meeting or some other event. And ask newer people to help you whenever you're doing something, because that way they can learn what to do and how to do what you do. So just remember, time invested in helping new people get involved is time spent expanding the capacity of your group to get more things done. All right, so I'm going to close with one more quote from Dr. King. I wish I could do it in his voice. I loved his voice. But here's what he said. Change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. So let's keep going.
This as much as you can.
Okay,
so with
Tony,
that,
I think we've got
I'm going to turn it over to Mark Reynolds.
Okay, good. And if you want to be impressed, go to that forum and look at the kind of questions our people ask. Our people ask really smart questions, and there's really good answers. It's really impressive when you get in. You're like, holy cow, look at these people. So anyway, when I was little, I played a lot of baseball. And I played around the neighborhood, and I played Little League. And if you're not familiar with baseball, there's something called taking infield. And it happens before Little League games, it happens before high school games, it happens before professional games. And it's just a really simple, short practice. The team all runs out to their positions, the manager takes a bat and a ball, he hits infield grounders to the infielders, he hits fly balls to the outfielders, and then they all throw the ball where it should go. And it's just a kind of simple part of baseball, it's just a little practice to get ready for the game. And when I was 12, I made our league all-star game, and I was the catcher, so I had a really good view of everything. And the first time we took infield, I had never seen anything so sharp and crisp. Everybody performed at such a high level that it really kind of swelled my chest, and I was so excited to be a part of it. And every time we took infield, it was exhilarating. And I would say now, looking back, that was the first high-performing team I was ever a part of. And that was definitely the experience that I had when the bill rolled out in November and again this morning. So what happened in November, we got a call. I'm watching the aide walk down the hall. He's walking in to drop the bill. This morning, we get a text. Bill's been dropped at 6:30. Within a few minutes of that, the all-supporter emails go out. And so everybody's being alerted of this call, both in November and here. The website is live instantly. Community's updated instantly. So all the infrastructure is in place really, really fast. And then look at how all of you responded. As Madeline said, she challenged you to publish 421 letters to the editor, and you published 602. And she didn't mention that also there was 102 op-eds that same month in December. And that there's 699 people on this call tonight. So I have always believed that we were working on the right policy. I also believed that we were doing it the right way. What has become very obvious to me recently is that we have the right team. We have the right volunteers and the right staff to make this happen. So thank you all so much for doing this. Thanks for jumping on a call last minute. And thank you for everything. And here we go. Good night, everybody. Thanks again.